Welcome back to the Gohan Podcast. We are just fresh off an airplane from Atlanta, Georgia, where we went and spent a couple days with the one and only Daniel Mason Jones at his Engage and Elevate
event.
Yeah. Engage and Elevate.
Yeah. Or it was in Elevate and Engage. I'm not sure. But either way, it's fine, right?
I don't think it's fine that we're getting this wrong. I mean, we saw it written all week long, those days. It was everywhere.
Whatever. Listen, we elevated and we engaged.
It's Engage and Elevate for the salon owner's experience.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
So, like, straight up, just everything I needed in my life right now. I feel like having the baby in June and... I don't know, guys. My life is so insane right now. But, like, being able to leave and go to an event that brought so much value was, like, everything I needed.
I could use DMJ in my life every day.
He's the best.
Yeah. He just is one of those people that when you're around him, he just makes you feel your value.
Yeah. Not only that, though, I feel like not the people that were at the event were kind of, like, in the same position...
They were our people.
As us, you know, like they value their team. They're like trying to elevate the beauty industry in general and like their standards. And I think that was like pretty cool too.
I also loved that it was intimate.
Yeah.
I think he said there was only 100 people. They only sold 100 tickets.
But that was intentional that they only sold 100 tickets. It was
so
good.
Like just being so intimate where like you felt like we got to know so many people and the people that were speaking on stage were able to actually like come out and like I got to talk to all of them. Like it was incredible. It was so well done. And Daniel and Jody, you guys really crushed it. And please, 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 Jody, you especially have it again next week or next year. We know Daniel's on board, but we might have to twist your arm.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. Like Daniel was amazing, but every person that he brought on that stage had so much value. And Jody, I got so much from. Yeah. Jody had my wheels turning more than anybody else. Yeah. See, I felt like he was speaking directly to me and my concerns and my, you know, beliefs in this whole industry. And he had me going. So,
yeah, it was good. So today we're going to take the opportunity to just talk you through some of our key takeaways from this event. It's fresh in our minds. That Heather said, we literally got off the plane like 24 hours ago and we happen to be shooting this week. So it just seems like a great time to go through it. So we'll just talk about our key takeaways and let's get started with, what do you guys want to start with?
Well, you were there the one day, so why don't you
talk so to I us started, about... I was there for two full days with Dana and then Alicia and Heather flew in. They caught the second half of the day in the big party that we went to Sunday night. But basically some of the things that I learned that day were pretty powerful. One was around subcultures, which is something that I was not familiar with that term until this event, and it made so much sense to me because I feel like having a company of our size, which we're just under 100 employees, and we are very big on culture and we're very big on events. And what's happening right now is we're trying to plan two big events. One is our 10-year anniversary and one is our holiday event. We've gone back and forth for like a week trying to figure out what is going to best suit our entire team. What are we going to get the most turnout? What do people want to do? For us, we find that, you know, like we have our young crew that wants to do something and then our older crew that wants to do something. So this particular portion of the presentation on Sunday talked about subcultures within your company. And I just brought so much value because it was like a point for me to understand, like, we're never going to please everybody. Mm-hmm. Like not everybody's going to want to do this and not everybody's going to want to do that, and how important it is for a company to cater to the different types of cultures within your culture. And
well, that's just it. I think that as your company grows and you get more people, and like you said, the age span can be, you know, 19, 18, 17, and then the more mature people in your company, it's harder to just have like one culture, even though we would love that, but not everybody's the same. So it's like the subcultures make sense.
It totally does. And it's like they used examples like people who like cats or book club or the ones that like to lift weights or exercise. Like you're going to have all of these like micro interests that you could potentially create like a little group of people who are doing that. And I just think that's something that I would really like to implement more as we get into like 2025. I just think embracing that seems fitting right now.
And like normalizing the fact that not everybody's going to want to do the same things together. Like I feel like we strive up until now, like trying to figure out how we can please everybody and like make it desirable for everyone, where we were like, we could do a tailgate, but then we could do this, like, mm-hmm. you know, like just trying to make it happen for everyone. And I think just like accepting the fact that like, hey, it's cool. Like not everybody's going to mm-hmm. want to hang out with, you know, that crew or go to this thing because it's not for them. Yeah. So
I agree. Came at the right time.
Took a lot of pressure off of us.
It does. For sure. What else did we learn? We learned so much. We talked a lot about retail. We talked about culture. We talked about like leadership and perceived value and pricing and perks and benefits that are offered within a company.
Generations.
That was a big one.
You yeah, that talk was a about big that? One. Yeah, we can talk about it for sure.
I really just loved how that presentation went. Now, mental health was another thing that they talked about that we should probably mention. But while on the mental health thing, they dove into Gen Z, right?
Gen Z, yeah. Gen Z. I'm Gen X.
Yeah, you're Gen X. Yeah. I'm millennial.
Millennials fuck.
Actually, the book that they gave out was interesting. Did you see it?
Yeah, that was Chris Tuff. His presentation was awesome. I know you guys didn't get to see it.
Yeah.
But he talked a lot about basically how to embrace millennials. And it was interesting. It was just interesting knowing that like there's companies out there that, I mean, this is a complete shift in generations. As millennials, you have to kind of know how to handle the different types of people and age groups and all of that stuff. But his presentation was good, but I love the, I mean, I'm excited to read the book.
Yeah.
For Did sure. he write the book?
He wrote it.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So his presentation, the key takeaways that I found were just like ways to create fun vibes within the business and think outside the box. So the At Bat song, you know how I mentioned that? That was him. Like,
I love that.
So what song?
So he said, he used this as an example. He said that he was working with a company and it was like a dentist office and they were trying to figure out ways to like just build the culture and get the team going. And he said that they basically came up with this idea for each team member to have an At Bat song. And
oh, like the Phillies and when they're in the oh, each player has their own song that gets them fired up.
Dude, it's so good.
Gotcha.
And he said that anytime that he was going to give a shout out or like acknowledge a team member or something, he would go on the Sonos system and play their song. At Bat song.
We need to do that before the meeting, I think.
So good, right?
So wait, is that by person or generation?
Person.
So everybody gets their own song.
We would survey the team and say like, you know, what if you could pick an At Bat song, what would it be?
What was your base?
Mine?
Yeah.
All the Above by Maino. Mm.
That's good.
What's yours?
I have no idea.
Mine would be Aruba, Jamaica.
Oh, fucking loser.
Boomer.
I'm just kidding.
We actually
I'm just
did
kidding,
this
but
at
I do. I love traveling.
We did this at a game, and Joey said his would be Sandstorm by Daru.
I love that for Joey so much.
That is good.
That's so good.
You know, well, I got to think about that. That was the first one that just popped in my head for some reason.
I can't even think about it. Probably Swedish House Mafia or something. I don't know.
That's a good one, too.
She'd be like, I'm a boss.
Greyhound.
I was thinking the same thing for you.
It's so good.
Well, what do you guys think for me?
Aruba, Jamaica.
I could just see me sitting at a nice little beach bar, Tom Cruise being my...
All right. So back to it. The Chris Tuff presentation was, it was awesome. He was talking a lot about building culture and how sometimes, he talked about how bonusing is a bigger motivator than a promotion, which I thought was interesting. And we could talk about that more later. Yeah, it was interesting. I'm sad you guys missed him. He was good. But how he said, like, this other company that he was working with, like, if they would do these little contests or little incentives, and when they won, he said the one company has a 10-foot blue chicken on wheels that they bring out, and that sits next to their desk for the month. Like, and the team loves it. So it's, like, just, like, how to cater to people. It's not just, like, you know, some people are motivated by money, but some aren't.
Yeah.
Like, some just want to be acknowledged in whatever way.
Significance.
Yeah, for sure.
What else did we miss the first day?
So you guys missed when
Gen Z was day two. We were there for that.
You're talking about that. Okay.
So with that part, I think that the important takeaway for me was I really liked the practice he did when he stood them up.
Yes, everybody to stand up.
You talk about that.
So he, and it seems like this is something that he does often when he goes and speaks to people, but he asked and it was a mixed crowd. There was younger, older, but he asked everybody in the crowd, to whoever was a Gen Z, to stand up. And so anybody that was a Gen Z stood up, and then he went around the room and asked every single one of them to list one trait that they're described as by other generations. And it was very interesting. Because
sad. I felt so bad in that.
The one girl like screamed lazy, and I was like, oh my gosh.
It was sad, but it also in the sense, like, I feel like
it's true. They do get called those things.
I think they do, but I think out of all the generations, they're the toughest in the sense that that rolls right off their back. Like, they're just like, I'm going to prove you wrong. Call me lazy. Wait till you see me create something that makes it like I can do this way simpler and faster than you'll ever know how to do it. Yeah. And they do. They prove us wrong all the time. Like, look at social media. Yeah. My generation, like, I'm still learning so much about social media. Like, my generation, we missed the whole, like, we didn't grow up with it. Like, it came to me, like, in my later teens, 20s. So it's something, it's a challenge for me. Where Gen Z, it's like, they are the ones creating it. And
well, what were
I'm trying to learn from them.
Yeah. What were some of the other things that they were calling them? Sensitive,
lazy.
No work ethic.
Yeah.
It's like one.
Cry a lot. Like,
know, one instant gratification, but aren't willing to like put in the work.
Yep.
Yeah. So they did that practice. And,
I loved how Daniel actually twisted it around and like built them back up and said like, but I don't see you like that. Like, that's not how I vision you at all. Like, I think Gen Z is one of the toughest generations, and everything that they've been through and has molded you into who you are today and the successes that we see with you. And
there was so much power when he said, like, let's talk about them.
Yeah.
You know, they were born in 2011.
Yeah.
9/11 or 9/11. They were born in 9/11. They watched their parents who worked their butts off. They were a part of the generation where moms and dads had to work now. Everybody has to work. And then they watched their parents lose everything in 2008 when the economy crashed. Mm-hmm. Then they went to high school. They graduated during COVID when they were on laptops.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you throw them to the wolves where we're dealt the biggest like financial crisis and inflation right now. They can't survive. They can't live on their own. They can't afford. Like, so I think that I just loved how he did that because it made me think about them in such a different way. I'm like, holy shit, dude, they really have had it rough.
Yeah. And that my biggest thing, like, I have a son who's a Gen Z, and one of the biggest challenges I've seen them face was the school with COVID. Mm-hmm. Just having to completely have your school taken out from you, your everyday norm of when you're not with your family, this is what you go to. That was just like ripped out from under them. They had to learn a whole new way of learning. And a lot of the kids struggled. Like, I can't learn online. I'm not that person. And so they had to face challenges. They overcame them. And it does make them stronger. And I feel like they are the generation that loves to prove everybody wrong. So it's like, go ahead, say whatever you want about me, but I'm going to prove you wrong and I'm going to do it better. And I'll find a faster, quicker, better way to do it.
Yeah, sure. Antisocial was another one.
And oh, yeah.
You can chalk that up to COVID because the only way that they could communicate was like through
social media.
Yeah, like for sure. Through electronics.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. That was so powerful. I'm just like still on a high from that event.
I know. I like actually just wish it was again this weekend. Like, I just wish I was going to the airport this weekend and heading back to Atlanta.
I know. Well, this is making me like now that I had the baby and like I'm starting to figure life out and find myself, and I'm actually going golfing on Friday, so that's cool. But anyway,
hold on. Let's note before you go in the hibernation season.
Yeah, but I feel like
this will be her last outing.
We got to get back to it. Like, you know, we typically prioritize these types of trainings, and it's just like making me realize how important they are. And I definitely like January, February would be a great time for us to get something else on the agenda.
Yeah, this was a good therapy for us as far as a career move and personally. Mm-hmm. Daniel's so inspiring, just with the how he's so soft-spoken and his positive vibe, and he just makes you really reevaluate everything and like my approach.
Yeah.
Like, since I've been home, I've been even parenting like so much more gentler and coming from a more loving and not trying to lose it on my kids. Yeah. And
oh, look at you.
He definitely inspires you.
That's nice.
Do we want to talk about the elephant in the room? Retail.
Oh, definitely. That was one of our pain points at the event.
Well, sure. It was ironic because they're literally delivering all of the significance and importance around retail. And in that moment, we get an email from our coach that was like, meet Alicia. Alicia like slides the phone over to me. She's like, did you see this? And I'm like, And I look and it's like the companies are down 22% since last year with retail sales.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that's where all of our problems are coming from.
Yeah.
So talk about like what, because we missed this portion of the presentation. Mm-hmm. It was someone from Kerastase, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was Kate Drinkwater out of Salt Lake City, Utah. Obsessed with her. Cannot wait.
Utah
to get
is speaking to us these days.
I know. I'm into it.
Mom, you're going to have to take a trip out there.
Dude, I'm down. But Kate Gary Drinkwater, B. dude, she crushed it. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm biased, but at times I feel like I definitely enjoy male speakers.
Yeah.
For the most part, I don't know why or what that is.
And male salesmen.
Yeah, we do love
software.
We do love the men. But I feel like Kate brought it. Like, I'm so sad you guys missed her because she is a representative for Kerastase, which is a brand that we're partnered with. We have not had her in yet, but I am like chomping at the bit. I already emailed our rep to try and get something scheduled for early next year. She killed it. I mean, she just did such a phenomenal presentation. And to be perfectly honest, not all of it was around Kerastase. It was mostly around luxury experiences and how perceived value to guests really matters. And you can charge whatever you want. She used the example of how Barclay Prime in Philadelphia charges $160 for a cheesesteak. And Jim's or
Gino's
cheesesteaks are like, what, $9 or something. Yeah. Maybe they're more than that. I don't know. Yeah. But just basically she used those two examples and then broke it down exactly how they get away with charging this and why people go and how they purchase this and how it's like Wagyu beef and, you know, everything from the second you pull up to park your car is luxury and high end. Yeah. So when that steak comes out and the presentation's there, and it's served with, you know, a pairing of whatever alcoholic beverage that it's coming, you know, like it's perfectly curated to make it feel like $160 for this cheesesteak was worth it. Mm-hmm. She just did a really good job, which brought me to the point where I'm like, we got some work to do. Like it was a time where I like thought, I'm like, okay, we charge a lot. We are a premium luxury salon. Are we delivering the value that we need to be?
Daniel used like an analogy the next day when we were there, basically saying like, go to a restaurant and don't get offered, you know, an appetizer or a dessert or the specials and like see what happens. Cause like that's really what it is when you have a business that involves like recommending home care and offering them to come back and see you and, you know, offering deep conditioning treatments. Like you're kind of disservicing your clients and because you're assuming you're in their wallets and that they don't want these things. However, like it should be a part of every person that sits down in your chair's experience.
Yeah, it should be an option. Like everybody should be offered it. They don't have to take it. Like there's sometimes I go to a restaurant and I want 4 appetizers and no dinner.
Yeah. And like you're the professional, you have an obligation to offer professional advice.
Right.
And when you're not, you're not doing your job.
Exactly.
And I feel like when he said it like that, I was like, damn.
Yeah. Like, well, it's the truth.
That is...
Yeah, he just has such a powerful way of putting things into perspective.
Yeah. Yep.
And, like, think about that. You know, like, for our particular salon, we're luxury, we're high-end, which means we need to bring every single offering you could possibly do to make sure that you're at minimum just offering. That's it. Like, you're just letting them know this is available if you'd like it.
And
that's all.
Not only offering it, but like consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Like you go to a different person and you get the same exact experience. And I think that's something that we're kind of struggling with right now at our own, you know, the fault of us.
For sure.
Just being accountable for it.
Anyway, that was kind of how the retail conversation went. But it was a trending topic over the 2 days. And it definitely came back probably top on our list of things that we need to start to figure out paired with the guest experience portion.
Yeah.
The other thing that you guys missed, which I think is the last thing that we'll talk about. But the other thing that you guys missed from that day was a speaker named Paul Roth, who was the CEO of AT&T back in like 2010. And he, at one point, was basically the lead of 40,000 employees. And he talked about how he repositioned the company and how he changed things. As simple as the way that they approach a client or a customer when they walk in the store. Like, it was very simple things, but they needed to change this for 40,000 employees. So it was very interesting to me because I feel like oftentimes one of my struggles is that we want to do something, but we have 3 companies now with four different leaders. We have three different managers. We have two assistant managers. And I think when we want to deliver something, it's not consistent, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I was very intrigued to see how he can do something like that. Like, tell me how you're actually, you know, moving the needle for 40,000 employees across the world. Like, it's crazy. So,
well, he obviously wasn't like reaching to them individually. 40,000, you can't. So he's depending on leaders and assistants mm-hmm. and
yeah.
managers and teams, and it mm-hmm. trickles down the line. Yeah. So
the two things that he was saying was consistency and accountability. Like, he delivers his message. He has a very clear plan. He says, you know, if, you know, I think he used the example of, we're going to change the words when they come in. This is what I want you to say. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like, oh no, it was, I can help you with that. So basically the goal was like the client would come in or the customer would come in and say something. And the response from every single employee with AT&T would be, I can help you. That was the response. It was kind of like the Chick-fil-A thing where yeah. my pleasure.
Or like yeah. Disney, when you walk in and as soon as they see you, they're welcome home.
Welcome home. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So like, how do you do that? And he basically said he provides like 3 to 5 step plan. And this is it. It's a playbook. And every single person that works here, this is how we do it. And this is how it's going to be done. And if you can't do this, I'll warn you. We'll have a chat. You know, he was so nice too. It wasn't like a nasty or aggressive way at all. But he was like, you know, and if they're not doing it, I hold them accountable.
Well, that essentially makes up your brand. Mm-hmm. And you can't have a brand without consistency and across the board.
Yeah. So it was a really impressive presentation. It was great because I just feel like he was such a nice, loving individual. But for him to be able to do that, to move the needle in that way with 40,000 employees, I was like blown away.
Yeah, just overall, the whole event experience was amazing. He brought in so many cool speakers, even just a psychiatrist that came in and talked about that and how you know, relating to your team and clients and mental health and how important it is today. That was interesting. And I loved that he also was innovative and brought in all the newest techniques coming to salons, like techniques. I'm sorry. So that was really cool. And it's funny that like
we're already using them.
Yes, we are. We're like a little step ahead of the game. There might be one that we're considering.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm like, we already have them under our belt. So
yeah.
that felt good. But hearing them. And it's funny because I feel like even though we do have them, when they got up to speak and talk about like the future of their companies and where they're headed, that was like enlightening for us because it was like, wow, like I can't wait for that to be available.
Yeah.
It's so innovative.
As like salon owners, we're all like so overwhelmed and I feel like their mission together. So Forest, Vish,
L'Oreal, the level
and Salon Centric and Level, just basically like working together to automate salon owners' lives, which I feel like is pretty cool.
It really is. I mean, Vish has been a major game changer for us.
Yeah.
You know, that was unbelievable. Forest, did you guys know I reached out to Forest yesterday and submitted feedback? It was so funny because yesterday we got an email from a client basically asking for like that add to calendar link
feature,
which like I didn't even
realize. I always use that. I don't know how we didn't pick up on
that. That's like my favorite thing ever.
Yeah. So he was like, what did he say? It seems like a miss.
Yeah.
So I like literally just went in and I went into Forest and there's a submit feedback or make a request or something like that. And I did. And I honestly am pretty confident that that feature will be available like soon.
Yeah. They're pretty good with the feedback. They're always
open to it.
Yeah. They're always open to it. And they're always like evolving. Like that's their mission, I feel like.
100%. Yeah. It's awesome. And I just love that everything's created with like salons in mind. Like the owner was a part of a salon and like really kind of knows what we're looking for. So,
and it was really cool too that Daniel was actually able to get the owner and creator of Forest there. Like usually I feel like it's stuff like that. They send people like that. Oh, I'm a representative for the company. Mm-hmm. He actually had like the number one guy, which was pretty amazing to actually listen and hear what he had to say.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And then like one of the big takeaways was, just Jody and Daniel's leadership style in general.
Oh God. If only I could be like them.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're on the same page.
We share all the same beliefs, the same values. Mm-hmm. I believe that, but their delivery is just so on point and so, like, I don't even know how it could ever get better.
I know, they're really,
like,
good.
For me, like, I feel like I can improve in a lot of ways. For them, they just have it so figured out.
Yeah. But they were so also good. Like, transparent, like, hey, we're not a perfect company, you know. Mm-hmm. We've made mistakes. These are the mistakes we made and what we've learned. Yeah. From them too. Yeah.
I loved when he was like that. I love when he was like, we surveyed the team. Like, it was so
IYKYK.
IYKYK. Yeah, it was so authentic, and I just like love that. Like, I feel like the transparency, you know, from him was, he's so relatable.
Yeah,
it was so good.
Yeah, it just, it feels good to know that there's other salon owners that are successful that try things and fail. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we're, you know, finding out even still, like, some of the stuff that we've done, like, haven't been huge successes, and, like, that's okay. You learn from them and you just move on.
Yep.
And I feel like that they were trying to, like, get that message across, like, you know.
It's cool. Own it. And
yeah.
You know, yeah, you're never going to evolve or grow if you don't have, like, setbacks. So, right. And, like, I laughed at you at one point, like, they were talking about something, and I think it was retail, and we were, you know, it was, like, hitting home for us. Mm-hmm. And my head felt like it was going to pop off my shoulders. Monica looked like she was going to blow smoke out her nose. Dana was like, and you're sitting.
She needed a neck brace.
I was popping Motrins.
Yeah. And Alicia's sitting there at the table like this. And she goes, what did you say? How did you say it? You were like, I love this feeling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you love this feeling? But I'm like, you knew this storm was coming and yeah, you were ready for it.
It's like the times where you feel uncomfortable or when, like, you grow the most. Oh.
It's true.
And I welcome that shit. It's, I fucking thrive in that shit.
Dude, so. It's so good. That was like me that night, you know, 4 a.m. I wake up and I was like, if you guys, I'll show you my notes. Like, my notes from that, I literally created, like, the full outline for the meeting, how we're going to do this. I drafted up an email to send to clients. Like, I was just in the zone. And it's been a while for me to, like, be on like that. Yeah. Like, it's been a while because I'm so distracted with my personal life. And it felt so good to, like, get away and just, like, shut off all of the rest of the world and just be able to focus on our business and start to strategize.
Yeah.
Because we have our big meeting coming up to start prepping for 2025, and it just felt so good.
This is going to be our year, I think. This meeting couldn't have came at a better time. And I do think, like, we haven't had anything this needle moving for us in a long time. Like, this just really spoke directly to us. Like, we've had tons of educators, and even Daniel was at our salon not that long ago, speaking to our team and all. And, like, a lot of it's relatable, but this was, like, specific just to, like, push our buttons.
Yeah.
And it was great. And I was so happy and grateful to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, it was good. Yep. So if you're feeling overwhelmed or in any way feeling like, you know, you just are lacking inspiration or you're feeling lost, that's exactly when you know to get out there and find something. And listen, I know you can't just hop on a plane and go to a conference that's being had and wherever, you know, sometimes they're not available, but I'd be looking for it. I feel like for me, like, goal for 2025, I think we need, like, maybe quarterly.
Yeah.
Possibly just three, but, like, minimum of, yeah, I would say, like, minimum of three of these events for next year.
Well, it sounds like we might be heading to Utah next.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Can't wait to go to
Swig. What
are
you laughing at?
I can't wait to get to Swig in Utah. It's the first thing I'm doing when I get there.
I'm in that fucking mood.
Oh, I love it. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you guys found value in all of our conversations today. It seemed to be fun. We will catch you on the next episode. So like, subscribe, and drop a comment. See you soon.